We're in the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to do a little bit different. I'm going to read the last verse in the study this morning, and I'd like for you to think about, you know, just what Christ has done for you. Amen. A lot of times we don't think of Christ as the purpose of our life, but in truth he is. Amen. Everything that he has done for us should overwhelm us sometimes. Amen. In the joy of what he's done. So, but to tell you how Christ, I mean, you know, we think of the big things. The nation's supposed to follow Christ, or the church is supposed to follow Christ. Well, this gets down to, you know, down to the one, each one of us. Amen. It says here in 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for this time. I pray your hand upon each one of us. Help us, Lord, to look up, praise you and worship you, and absolutely understand you're in charge. Thank you, God, for this great, great news. We pray in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.
Amen.
If Christ, you know, created all what we understand, the world, the universe, everything, you know, it's kind of like the Hubble spacecraft comes out there and he points at a little white dot, and they get the Hubble out there, and they look and they find out it's a place where there's a billion stars. You know, it's not one white dot; it's a bunch of stars. So we can look at the magnificence of God, you know, above us. We can look at the magnificence of God on the ground we walk on, and what can happen in our earth, and all the things that goes on. Christ put it all together. He put you together. He absolutely, every aspect of our life. So with all the knowledge we have, we should understand we should follow him.
Amen.
And we should give him glory.
Amen.
You know, and I know we thank each other and we pat each other on the back and all this kind of stuff, but in truth, Christ is, he is the one that should receive all our glory.
Amen.
Because in truth, we're nothing without him.
Amen.
So, you know, David said, I have set the Lord always before my face. So he had Christ, you know, God Almighty, in the sense where he was from at that time, in front of him. And that's what he tried to live by. We see other people in the Bible that put God first. We see how Paul, you know, he walked against so much evil. Everywhere he went, he was breaking new ground for people. I mean, they didn't understand. It was all about idolatry and witchcraft and spiritualism and all. I mean, we think today, oh, you know, there's not too much going on, little tarot cards going here and there. Let me tell you something. This stuff's been going on since.
Amen.
Man could think up something evil, he figured it out. Amen? Christ, God, in the Old Testament, wanted him to look up. So he chose, as we know, Abraham, started a nation. Then that nation had to get kind of over into Egypt for a while. And guess what was over there? Filled with worship of everything that didn't need to be worshiped. So God says, okay, we'll kind of put y'all in one place. We'll keep you together. And they were still influenced. Because you remember when they came out, they got down the road a little ways, and they formed up a couple of calves. Where'd that come from? Right out of Egypt. Amen? So, and God kept telling them, please, please listen to me. And, you know, I hate to tell you this. God's begging us today, please, please listen to me. Let's begin in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 10. It says, for I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, Listen, brothers and sisters, and anytime the Bible says brothers, it really implying brothers and sisters, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Now, let me tell you, how close was God to them? How close is God to us? Well, his word's in your hand. And if you're a Christian, his spirit, he is in your heart.
Amen.
And we can either relish in that or we can say, oh my. Because he says, listen to me. He says, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt after 400 plus years, they almost immediately began to rebel against God. I mean, they were griping and complaining the whole way. You know, if we only understood, when you gripe and complain, who's the idol?
You are.
You are. Amen. When we gripe and complain, we're the idol. Then God says, look up. Thank me for everything. You say, wait a minute, everything? He says, thank him for everything. How about all the bad time, Brother Bill? How about death and destruction, things of that nature? He says, thank him for everything. You're telling me that you've never looked back after terrible things happened to you, that you hadn't realized that God was speaking to you? That he wanted you to change your way or look the other way or help somebody or do something?
Amen.
I mean, we all should understand God is in charge of our lives. Listen, if you're lost, he's still in charge of you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, Brother Bill. So it goes on. It says, spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased. Now, he had put them aside. He'd fed them, protected them, all this, and he brought them out. He brings them out with, you know, great miracles. He gets them to the Red Sea. He opens it up. They walk over, then they can look back and watch the Egyptian army die.
Yeah.
Now, he's kind of saying, that's a closed chapter. They rebelled, and they were mean to you, so let me show you what I do to people that are mean to my children. Boom. And Egypt never was a great dynasty again. It had been the biggest and the greatest country. It's kind of like America, y'all. You know, we all think America is so great it can never fail. The second God doesn't want us to be number one, we'll be number 10. And in Vietnam, that would be the last. Think about it. And I'm not knocking America. I think it's great. And I love it. But also, America is walking against God. All you got to do is turn on the television, watch it 2 seconds, and understand America is against God. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. You know, sometimes we think of living for myself, because there's a multitude of self-help books. If you've ever been in any kind of bookstore, go to the self-help section. They have a whole section of books just to help you get through. So you can be living for yourself. You could be living selfishly for somebody else. Some are living for the goddess of pleasure. Some are pursuing fame. Some are seeking riches. All of these things, the spirit-filled Christian should absolutely put behind him. Now, are you tempted of these things? Paul said, you know, I've seen where I want to do something that's not right, and I put it behind myself. I have sunk away from it.
Amen.
Because I don't want to be involved in it. So everybody in this room, as I said, a Christian, We need to be looking to how do I get rid of myself.
Amen.
And bring Christ in to replace everything of me. God says, I want you to be like my son, not like Satan. Amen, brother.
Amen.
You know, as you study the Old Testament, you find out that we were born in sin. God, of course, sent a Savior for us. Amen?
Amen.
The real question is, do you live for Christ? Have you understood you need to put things out of your life and just absolutely magnify Jesus Christ? You know, it's kind of like, I can't magnify Christ. I don't mean to say that way. But, you know, it's kind of like, I'll go back to the telescope. I can't magnify the stars out there, but I can sure make them look closer to me so I can see the magnificence of the numbers of them. As we magnify Christ and we put glory on him, we're lifting him up, not ourselves.
Amen.
But you know what? It's a redundant feature. Christ puts glory on us. He brings us up out of it. And what does he bring us? He brings that happiness that so many people are so desperate for today. They would rather be in misery, even as Christians, they'd rather be in misery than to bow down to Christ. Say, Brother Bill, that's harsh. Amen. It's because people live for themselves instead of Christ. I mean, the moment we give ourselves up and we look to him, our lives change. Every time, you think back, every time you said, Lord, you be in charge. Let me back out of this. Use me if you will, but let me back out of this. Have you ever watched him just absolutely lift you up and move you along? And so we can reason with ourselves and say, well, I know what happened. I know what's going on. I know all this, all the things we can put in our minds. But Christ will change the way we think if we allow him.
Amen.
If you want to think bad, you will. You want to watch bad things on TV or go to the movies, things of that nature, bad films, then you'll fill your soul with stuff you don't need to watch. Amen? Let's go on. Now, these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be adulterers as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And that play meant sexual idolatry. They were, again, worshiping the Satan, and Satan had the calves, and the people started having a party, and they got into it. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. You may remember when they rebelled against against God, and God sent the serpents among them. And what'd they do? Oh, finally, these guys, all the children of Israel, they ran to Moses and said, please, ask God to stop the serpents from killing all of us. And what'd God do? God said, form a serpent, put it on top of a pole, and anybody looks up, they won't die. Can you imagine the ones that didn't look up? Not because they didn't want to die, because they're too hard-headed. I mean, they're hard-headed people that come to church. Amen? Some people come to church year after year after year, and they're never saved. They never bothered to do what God said to do. But I used to come as a child. I'll come as an adult. They reason that, you know, because I come close to where I'm supposed to be, I'll be okay. I'm a good person because I come to church. Let me tell you, you might be a good person, but you're not going to heaven. Just coming to church. Church has nothing to do with it. It's where we meet to love and care for each other. But church, listen, we're in trouble if that's what we're counting on. Because it's not going to get you there. It's only Christ. It goes on. Nor grumble as some did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as an example for us, y'all. and them, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. If you're in charge, if you're in, you think you got it all together, be real careful. Christ is strong. We are weak. The moment you understand you're weak in Christ, you'll become strong. Amen. I know it sounds like a double negative, but in truth, it's absolute positive. Christ leads from behind. He kind of shoves us along, but he's out in front of us, leading us. You know, it's kind of like an old Western movie. John Wayne was saying, "Westward ho," and he's pointing out west. He said, "Let's go this way," you know. Everybody follows him. Amen? Well, Christ is pointing to the heavens. He says, I am going to supply a place for you to live forever. This time is just a preparation to what's coming. No temptation is to overtake you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. For the people that tells you, "Well, I gave in because I just couldn't control myself." And that's really the crux of the whole thing. I mean, whatever sin you commit, whatever sin somebody else commits, watch. God says, "I give you the ability not to sin." Can you imagine? And then as I've said before, if you think about it, every time you went to sin, there was that momentary 2 or 3 seconds where you said, "I could have said no, and I didn't." Yeah. We all should say, I think it was Nancy Reagan that had to know the drugs, one of them. Yeah, she said, you know, just say no. And that's what we all learn. Just say no. Amen. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. Have you ever figured out in your own life what adultery is? Have you ever said, "Oh, that is, I'm worshiping that"? You know, we don't have to have a something on the table. Now, I go into homes witnessing, and I've seen Buddha, I've seen plants that grow in certain ways, and they have candles around them. I've seen pictures and then candles around them, and I'm thinking, good, okay. This is not good for them. It's just, you know, I know what's going on. They're worshiping the dead. They're worshiping something. I mean, there are people who idolize, you know, great grandpa. Let me tell you something. Great grandpa, he's either in heaven or hell. He's not on the mantle. He's not in your room. He never will be. How people can't understand death is in for that. And we need to look to Christ. Therefore, my beloved, flee from adultery. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? You know, we come to the Lord's table. It's a representation of his blood and his body. The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? Of course they are. Just like when we come and we sin, as you worship God, you think about what he did to shed his blood, for his body to be broken, for us, every one of us. It's just overwhelming to think about that. What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? What this references is that all the different idols, people would take meat and they would give it to the priest, to whatever idol, you know, I don't know, there's thousands of them. And everybody had a temple. But so then those priests would take some of it and eat it, and some of it they'd sell in market, meat markets. And so there were people who would go, and Jewish people would go and buy from those meat markets. And other Christians began to say, wait a minute, that was offered to idols. Now what Paul's saying, it's meat. I don't care what people did over it. Just eat it. But listen, and this pertains to a lot of things Christians should think about. It says, but if it offends somebody, don't eat it. He said, well, wait a minute. You know, I know certain people don't like chicken. Well, was it offered to idols? No. If it's offered to an idol, I'd say, okay, don't eat it. I won't eat it in front of you. I won't offend you. But I hope you understand. He's telling us, you know, the meat is fine. It's what, it's in the mind of a new Christian. We should not offend a new Christian. We should hold that Christian up. Just eat the meat later or another time. Or if you go to somebody's house, and I remember one time I'd quit drinking, I wouldn't do it, and I watched my boss, he was fixing some chicken, and he poured beer all over it. Well, it ruined the chicken for me, and I didn't eat it. I think I upset him. But I'm going to tell you a little secret. I'd rather him upset than me go against my conscience. Amen. God had set me on a different plan. And I, you know, so if I come over to your house and you pour wine or beer on something, I probably won't eat it. If you don't let me see it, I'll probably eat it. I'm sure Cindy snuck a lot of stuff in on me. But that, I'm playing there, y'all. But just think how Paul looked at it and said, listen, it's okay, but don't offend anybody. Amen. It goes on. It says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. In other words, some things we can tear people down. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Uh-oh. You mean I'm supposed to step down and let somebody else in front of me? Yeah. I'm supposed to give way to somebody that's rude and crude and mean? Yeah. Christians are supposed to be different. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go eat whatever is set before you without raising any questions on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you. For the sake of conscience, I do not mean, nor not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So we go back to 31. For whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, there are three tables of fellowship. As Christians, we can see them. There's the table of the Lord. Of course, you know, we call it the Lord's table. And then the table of demons. And each one, and fellowship, y'all, is to come and to eat over and talk and share. So you have a table of demons, worship of things of Satan, and then you have a table of Israel. They're neither Christian nor pagan completely, but they're in the middle. Now think of those three tables. He says, so whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, all to the glory of God. You know, if we put the food out of this, if you just think about what you do, who do you worship? Who do you give credence to? What's number one in your life? If it's not Christ, then you've got something else in the way. Anything between you and Christ is evil.
Amen.
You say, wait a minute, Brother Bill, I'm not doing anything bad. No, but if it's between you and Christ and it takes precedence over Christ, it's not good. Christ should be number one in everything. Everything we should do should bring honor to Christ. Everything. You say, well, that's impossible. Well, I'm not there, but I'm trying, because I believe everything should be honoring to Christ. Everything we do, think about that. Brother Bill, that's overwhelming. Yeah, amen. But I don't want to be served at the demon's table. I don't want to be partaking of stuff that I'm not supposed to partake of. And I know I've caused lots of problems with people. You know, it says in the first part of this chapter, it says, don't get involved with idolatry. It says the idolatrous festivals. What's a recent festival, y'all? Easter. Oh, Brother Bill, you had to get on that, didn't you? Yes, sir. Think about it. We're still worshiping the bunny, the eggs, and the basket. I've got drawings, 3,000 years old, of bunny, eggs, and baskets. And we think, oh, it's innocent. Well, yeah, God said it wasn't innocent then, it's not innocent now. Anything we substitute God for, we say, well, we have no idea what it means. And that doesn't excuse you. You drive down Normandy at 65, get a ticket. I don't know the speed limit. That's what those signs are over there. God says, this is for examples. So what we should do is think about it. You know, every festival we have, we should think about it. Amen. What's more important, the local festival or Jesus Christ? I suggest to you it should always be Christ. He did it all for you. He's got it all planned out. In other words, we have eternity to spend with Christ. Amen. We can't spend 90 years worshiping. It goes on. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Amen. That they may be saved. Amen. You know, I promise you, I'm not the smartest guy in the whole world, but I try to think how I can affect people's lives by what I do. And I tell you, God blesses me. He gives me opportunity. He gives me chances to witness to people, to care for people. And you know what? That's what every one of us, and I see it. I see it in this room. I know, we're sparse. We say, well, we're a dying church. I don't believe that. Amen. I don't believe that at all. We're only dying if we think we're dying. Because if Christ wants to have two or three here, it's church.
Amen.
So, you know, a whole bunch of you can leave and we're still going to be church.
Amen.
Now we get down to three, well, okay. We might be dying. But Christ, I believe with all my heart, wants us to absolutely worship him and watch what happens. Depend on him, not ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand. As we think about today's message, I pray that you think about how Christ has opened up a way for every one of us to know him. That's by trusting him as Savior. Knowing you need a Savior, that you're a sinner. It's real simple. If you've never made that decision, I pray that you make it today. That Christ will become number one in your heart. And that's by believing in him. Amen.